యశోదనందన వ్రజ జనరంజన 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 యమునా తీర వనచారి యమునా తీర వనచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम त्रिला प्रविष्ट ओम शुपाल परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह्यगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यत प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृद य आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सुरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मल्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परै ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यते त्रिकृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पदरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायाम् विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम् यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदम् अभेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदया तरवोऽभिनेदु ഭക്തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കൊണിതാദൃതാനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭരാമുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമല് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദം സോ വി ഹാവ് ടു ഗോ ബാക്ക് ടു ദി സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് രാമകഥ ഓർ ദി രാമകഥ മാധുരി ആസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് റെഫേർഡ് because of the sweetness of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes in Ramayana. We were discussing this many weeks ago. I think it was on the 2nd of November we started discussing about the Ramayana in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, and since then we could not continue, so we come back to that now and continue from there where we stopped on that day. So as I mentioned before, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear Ramayanam from Sukadeva Goswami. Ramayanam story is not new to Parikshit Maharaj. You may have to remember that, because if you see the lifestyle of the Pandavas, you will notice one thing. In Mahabharatam specifically, this is shown very explicitly, that all the sages used to come to see Yudhishthira Maharaj in the palace. This was a common feature of the life of the Pandavas. Because Krishna has instructed the Pandavas, always worship the great sages, worship the great devotees. Let there be always guests at your house. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was having all these guests like Markandeya Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, and then Durvasa Maharshi, all these sages, you will find throughout Mahabharatam, they coming and visiting our Yudhishthira Maharaj and going away. Either they were fed very well, or they were invited to discuss the Shastram together. And you look at Duryodhana, what was happening? His visitors were Karna, Shaguni, Dushasana, and so on and so forth. All the evil elements were regularly visiting Duryodhana, because that is association he decided to go with. And similarly, our Yudhishthira Maharaj decided that he will associate with the saintly people.
And therefore, his visitors are also of similar nature. So, you will see there that Markandeya Maharshi's name is mentioned, particularly as a visitor to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why is Markandeya Maharshi considered so important? Because Markandeya Maharshi is the most authoritative source on Ramakatha. While speaking about his title is given as Purana Acharya, Acharya of all the Puranas was given to him by Sri Parvati when he met Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva together at the end of Dwadashaskandam 12th canto. You will find in the Bhagavatam, Purana Acharya Dastude, Purana Acharya, the Acharya of all the Puranas title was given to Markandeya Maharshi. And this Markandeya Maharshi has spoken Sri Rama Katha, Ramachandra's Katha, in the association of all devotees, including Krishna, and and in the assembly of all the Pandavas and Kunti Devi, many, many times in the palace before. So, Parikshit Maharaj was very much familiar with Ramakatha even before he has heard this from Sukadeva Goswami. That is what is important thing to remember. That Parikshit's knowledge of Ramakatha, it was not that he was hearing, going to hear the first time from Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit has heard it many times before from the Markandeya Maharshi. But when Solar Dynasty was discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it came to the stage of Ramakatha, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, I would like to hear about Lord Ramachandra from your mouth than anybody else. So it was on that special request that in two chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Ramachandra story has been discussed by Sukadeva Goswami. And you will see also the difference. Sukadeva Goswami's analysis of eventually, after discussing about everything, Sukadeva Goswami evaluates Lord Ramachandra in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He evaluates Lord Ramachandra, that is this great personality, Sukadeva Goswami. He analyzes what type of life Ramachandra had in this world and what was the result of living such a life in this world. This is the beauty of Sukadeva Goswami's Ramayanam. So all the sages, Vedavyasa Maharshi, who has not touched Ramayanam? Valmiki, Sri Narada Muni starting from. Narada Muni discussed Ramayanam. Valmiki discussed Ramayanam. Vedavyasa Maharshi discussed Ramayanam. Now Sukadeva Goswami discusses Ramayanam. Markandeya Maharshi has discussed Ramayanam. So almost all the great personalities, they all had at some time or the other had put their mind or intelligence into Ramayanam, and from there they have enjoyed this nectar, what is known as Ramakatha Madhuri, or the sweetness of Lord Ramchandra's story, the story of Ramayanam. So this is what we started discussing, and in that discussion we found out, I've mentioned about this, that there were three personalities who were very, very, very dear to Lord Ramachandra. Through their devotion they reached that status. That is how they attained that level. It is through devotion that you place the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramachandra had Valmiki, Lord Shiva and Anjaneya or Hanuman. These are the three personalities who were very, very dear to Lord Ramachandra. And that you can see also when you study their relationship with Ramachandra in detail, you can see that. We were talking about Valmiki. How does Ramayanam come about in the beginning? Ma nishada pradishtam tvai agama shashwadi samaham yal kraunjamidina deham avadhi kama mohidam. This is the first verse in the Sanskrit language ever spoken. Ma nishada pradishtam de avadhi shashwadi samaham yal kraunjamidina degam avadhi kama mohidam. Valmiki Maharshi, after going through his life first as a Brahmana, then as a hunter, then as a sage, Valmiki, this was his third birth, that he has had to go to have his Madhyandinam. Madhyandinam means Brahmanas and sages, they have three times in a day, they have to perform these Sandhyavandanam activities. Sandhyavandanam means these three Sandhyas. First Sandhya is in the morning, second the middle of the day, and then third one in the evening. So the one in the middle of the day, Madhyandina Sandhyavandanam, Bharadwaja Maharshi went to the river In some places it is mentioned, Valmiki Maharshi went to the river. In some places it is mentioned that Bharadwaja Maharshi accompanied him at that time. And it was there that he saw these two birds who were sitting and enjoying on a tree. And he was looking at them and he was performing his Sandhyavandanam standing in the river, water up to his waist. So suddenly he noticed a hunter shot the arrow and killed one of these birds. And suddenly, immediately on the spurt, the moment, Valmiki Maharshi felt a great disappointment in his heart for what this hunter has done. So it was at that time, this first verse came out from his mouth. Manishada pradishtam de agamashashwari samaham yal kraunjamidina degam avadhi kamamohidam. My dear Nishada, hunter, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to curse you and burn you to ashes. Why? You have killed one of these birds. Because Valmiki Maharshi's heart was very soft. He felt that what this hunter has done was something unforgivable, in the sense that two birds sitting together and they were trying to give pleasure to each other, and one of them has been shot down by this hunter through one of his arrows. And Valmiki thought that was a very, very cruel thing to do. And from there, this verse came out from his mouth. Then, yal kraunjamiduna deham avadhi kamamohidam. They were in love with each other, these two birds. And at the same time, they were known as krauncha birds. And yal kraunjamiduna deham avadhi kamamohidam. That kamamohidam, they were in relationship with each other like that. So, Valmiki decided to curse him, but at the same time, he pulled control himself. It was then that Lord Brahma came to Valmiki and spoke to him that he should expand this verse into further into the story of Ramayanam. So it was then that Valmiki, through his introspection or through his reflection of this verse, he realized that this verse has a lot to offer. From this verse, so many things, conclusions he arrived at. There was something like 16 different verses. It was 16 different versions of this verse coming out from the different scholars on this. So, yal kraunjamidina degam avadhi kamamohidam. So, we were talking about this verse and how Valmiki decided to compile Ramayanam. Now, we mentioned before that Valmiki's effort to compile Ramayanam became successful. Why? How did he become so successful? The reason for that is that Ramachandra, if you look as a personality in the Ramayanam, you will see that some of the decisions what Lord Ramachandra has made, sometimes difficult for us to understand from our mind. For our mind, it is very hard to understand. And unless and until we study Ramayanam, it is sometimes looks to us that why Ramachandra took that decision to go like that. There are three specific instances in the Ramayanam when Ramachandra's decisions were found difficult to understand and difficult for devotees to sometimes accept because of the complexity of the situation. When Dasharatha Maharaj gave this commitment to Kaikeyi that Rama should go to the forest for 14 years, actually Dasharatha Maharaj could have refused to accept that request from Kaikeyi. Nothing could have stopped from doing that. In fact, if you look at from the Shastric viewpoint, Guru Orapyavaluptasyam Karya Karya Majanadam Utpada Pratibannasya Parityago Vidhiyadem. That is how Shastra says. Spiritual master, the king, father, if they make such requests which are totally blunder or absurd or completely against the interest of the people or interest of the benefit for the person, then you can reject them. You can reject a spiritual master. You can reject your own, a king. You can reject the instruction from anybody for that matter. Karya, karya majanadam. That this is from the Mahabharatam. This statement is there. So on the strength of that, in fact, on the basis of this statement, Valmiki could have refused to accept this instruction from Dasharatha Maharaj. In fact, Dasharatha Maharaj did not directly instruct Ramachandra. It was through Kaikeyi that the message came to Ramachandra. So Ramchandra decided to support his father in spite of the fact that Kaikeyi had made an unreasonable request. You can see from Ramayanam that why one Ramachandra has to go to forest for so many years. And it was one thing, Kaikeyi wanted Bharata to be installed on the throne. Even if that was a selfish motive from Bharata, what justification was there for Ramachandra had to go to the forest? So this question comes up there. Now in normal situation, this would have infuriated anybody, that such a request from Kaikeyi. And Dasharatha Maharaj could not say anything about it. And according to Sukadeva Goswami, Strainasya Chapi, that Dasharatha Maharaj was very much affected by Kaikeyi's youth and Kaikeyi's beauty. That is how it is mentioned. Whatever it is, Dasharatha Maharaj's life was such that he was a very great personality in his own way. And one of the biggest problem Dasharatha had was that he had no time for his householder life. Most of the time he was busy with fighting wars. He was running around all over the world, sometimes even going to heavenly planets. Indra was requesting him to come to help and things like that. So Dasharatha was so busy that apparently he has forgotten to get married up to the age of 50,000. This is what Ramayanam says. Till 50th, he was 50,000 years old, he has not even had time to get married. So it was then that one day, Sumandra, his minister, told Dasharatha that if we go on like this, what will happen to this solar dynasty? Solar dynasty will come to an end now with you. And unless you have children, this is not going to help. So eventually, Dasharatha got married to Kausalya, which we know, the daughter of Kausalam, king of Kausala. And then he had no children from Kausalya. So he decided to marry another princess, which was Sumitra. And from Sumitra also, he had no children. But Dasharatha didn't bother. He was busy with his administration, management and whatever that was. He was going around. For a long time this went on. And eventually, Dasharatha was requested by Sumantra. He came up to him that once when Sumantra went with Dasharatha to the heavenly planets to fight a war, Sumantra was told by the Sanat Kumara Maharshi, one of the four Kumaras, that King Dasharatha will have four children and Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear in the family. So for some time Sumantra has forgotten this, and when it came to his mind, he immediately remembered this and told Dasharatha that he should get married immediately and there should be an arrangement, a marriage organized for him. Dasharatha started asking Sumantra, I am now 60,000 years old. What's the point in me getting married now? This is what his answer was. He said he had no time for marriage till now. He was so busy with his work. And now he's 60,000. He said, who is going to give me a girl to get married at 60,000? Even Dasharatha Maharaj came to that conclusion. So you have to remember at that time, Kosalam, which was the capital was Ayodhya, and Kegayam, where Kaikeyi comes from, and Mithila, Janak Maharaj. They were the major rulers in Aryavartam at that time. And Dasharatha had no particular interest, but there was always a rivalry between Mithila as well as Kaikeyam. The kings between Kaikeyi's father and Janaka Maharaj. There was a rivalry going on for quite some time. And they will always like the friendship of the king of Ayodhya, King Kausala, for one reason only, that in their fight against each other, they were playing this political activity. They were trying to involve him. But Dasharatha had no interest in that. So it was at that time, the king of Kegaya kingdom wanted to offer Kaikeyi in marriage to Dasharatha. So Kaikeyi was young and beautiful compared to Kausalya and Sumitra, who were older. And when Kaikeyi was offered in marriage, everybody requested that Dasharatha should marry Kaikeyi. And along with Kaikeyi, the king also sent with one commitment that the prince is born from Kaikeyi, he should be given the throne, next throne. So many commitments, so many guarantees were given, and eventually also to support Kaikeyi, Mandara was also sent by the king. Now, what has happened was, Dasharatha was discussed this matter with Vasishtha. Vasishtha was the priest for the priest means the acharya for that solar dynasty for many, many generations. Vasishtha was advising them. So this sage Vasishtha told Dasharatha Maharaj that you should perform an Ashwamedha Yagam, Ashwamedha sacrifice. And in those days, along the river, there will be so many yupam. Yupam means the post on which you tie the horses for men for the sacrifice. And these yupams will be covered with gold. So if you go to the river bank and you see the number of yupams or these posts, what stands there, you can count them, and from that you can see how many Ashwamedha sacrifices one particular king has performed. This is how it was done. So along with Ashwamedha sacrifice, Dasharatha was told by Vasishtha Maharshi that he should perform another Ishti. Ishti means it's another aspect of the sacrifice, which is known as Putragameshti. It's another Ishti, only with the purpose of having children. So Putragameshti was organized by Vasishtha Maharshi, and in that Putragameshti sacrifice, the demigod appeared, and Agni appeared and brought a payasam. Payasam means a sweet substance which was given to Dasharatha to be offered to all the wives, Kausalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra. But when the pot was brought outside, only Kausalya and Kaikeyi were there immediately. So Dasharatha gave that pot to Kausalya and Kaikeyi to share. They shared that payasam which came out, but when they were having the payasam, at the same time Sumitra walked in. So Kausalya immediately gave half of the prasadam to her, and Kaikeyi thought, if I don't give half of it, it looks a little bit improper. So Kaikeyi also gave half of her to Sumitra. The result was that Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna iti samyayaha. Bhagavatam says, Sri Raman, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, they were born. Ramachandra from Kausalya, and Lakshmana and Shatrughna from Sumitra, and Bharata from Kaikeyi were born. The four princes were born from in the family. So at the same time, something else was happening. That due to the trouble from the Ravana, the demigods have gone to complain to Mahavishnu about the problems they were facing with Ravana. Now Ravana has taken a benediction that he will not be killed by anybody except an ordinary human being. Now why he said like that? Because Ravana had no fear of human beings, because Manushyas, they are referred to, are the food for the Rakshasas. They are a Rakshasa race. So for them, normally a human being is a food. So they eat people all the time. Obviously this Rakshasa race has come in, not in existence probably anymore. But this Rakshasa race who existed in Tridayugam, their food was human beings. So they decided to, he has taken this vow, he's taken this benediction, that he will not be killed by anybody except a human being. So this was the reason why the Supreme Personality had to appear in the human race as Ramachandra, with this one understanding that Ravana could alone be killed by a human being. So, Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna iti samyayaha. Then Valmiki Maharshi, when he realized that this particular incident, that what has happened to Ramachandra has taken birth, and before Ramayana was compiled, Valmiki's mind was very much focused on these matters. That ever since he saw that the birds were short, Valmiki Maharshi thought in his mind further about it. It came to his mind also something else, that after all the marriage was performed, Ramachandra and Sita Devi lived together for a very short time happily. After that, Kaikeyi's insistence on installing Bharata as the king, Ramachandra and Sita Devi decided to go to forest. Then they had all their time in the forest for a long time. Sita Devi was stolen by Ravana. And eventually, with the help of Sugriva, Lord Ramachandra decided to kill Ravana and retrieve Sita Devi from Sri Lanka and bring her back to Ayodhya. So all these things happen. But normally you would have expected that the story should have finished there. That after bringing Sita Devi back to Ayodhya, things should have been a little more normal. Altogether, Ayodhya was in tears ever since Ramachandra left Ayodhya. But the story didn't end there. Afterwards, you know what happened in Ramayanam, that it was spoken against Sita Devi by a washerman, and Ramachandra decided to banish Sita Devi into the forest. So, first point, why Ramachandra accepted the decision from Dasharatha Maharaj to go to forest. Why Dasharatha Maharaj committed that to Kaikeyi, why Ramachandra did not reject it, number one. Number two, just because a washerman has spoken something about Sita Devi like that, although Sita Devi has come through the fire and proved her purity, and every sage has accepted that Sita Devi was pure, and there was no question of sending Sita Devi because somebody has spoken something in the street. In the name of Dharma, Ramachandra decided to send her to the forest, banish her, as his, after all going through all this so many years in the forest, in tears, they spent so much time together in the forest. And all this war was fought to get Sita Devi back from Ravana. In spite of all that, when they come back to palace, hardly a few years have gone, Ramachandra decided to send her into the forest again. What is the logic in that decision? Number two. Number three, after rejecting Sita Devi, you find in the Ramayanam that Ramachandra did another thing, which also sometimes difficult to understand, that is sacrificing Lakshmana. This Lakshmana, who has been so loyal to him and so committed to him and went along with him to the forest, even giving up his own comforts at home to support Ramachandra and Sita Devi, he spent all his time there. Throughout the battle, Lakshmana was side by side with Ramachandra in his battle in Lanka against Ravana. After all that he has done, served his brother so loyally and dutifully, and at the last minute, at one point, Ramachandra decided to reject Lakshmana also. So, three instances. Everyone will ask this question, that why Ramachandra did that?
Soyam martyavadharam tava khalu niyadam martya shikshartham evam,
to teach the human society certain things in life. And that is what coming through from these. Everything in Ramayanam has a message to the human society to learn from that. Every personality in Ramayanam is bringing to us certain things. It is pointing out to us that follow this route or don't follow this route. Dasharatha Maharaj is showing us something. Kausalya is telling us something. Sumitra is telling us something. Kaikeyi is telling us something. All the four brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, are telling us something. And Ravana is also telling us something. And same thing, Vibhishana is telling us something. What is Ramayanam? Ramayanam is nothing. Story of three families. One family in Ayodhya who was like demigods. They were Devas quality. Another family in Kishkindha, a family of monkeys. That is the monkey's nature. And the third family in Sri Lanka, in Lanka, a family of Rakshasas. So you can see that three modes of nature also coming from them. That this demigod family, look at Lakshmana and Ramachandra. Lakshmana and Ramachandra, they were brothers. Lakshmana and Ramachandra, in their travel, they meet Sugriva. So there is a discussion between Lakshmana and Sugriva. If you see that discussion, you will understand what we are discussing. It is very easy to understand. Sugriva and Lakshmana is discussing about their brother's activities. Lakshmana is talking about Ramachandra and Sugriva is talking about Bali. Lakshmana never spoke one word about Ramachandra, which he found everything, higher qualities in Ramachandra as the elder brother. So this quality in Lakshmana, to see that Ramachandra, his eldest brother, is far like a father for him, more than an elder brother. So that is that godly quality in Lakshmana, that he never found one fault in Ramachandra. Throughout his conversation with Sugriva, he mentioned anything about Ramachandra in a wrong way. Whereas Sugriva constantly blaspheming Bali for everything what he did, continuously criticizing And he found he had no difficulty in talking against Bali in every possible way. In other words, that is that Vanara Jadi, the monkey nature in Sugriva was coming out. Now you go to Lanka and see what was the situation between Ravana and Vibhishana. Vibhishana was a devotee, no doubt about it. But his loyalty to Ravana was very much questionable. In fact, at one stage during the war, Ravana said to Vibhishana, "Ramchandra is not my enemy. My enemy is you." That is how he took Vibhishana. And I would like to kill you before I kill Ramchandra. This is what Ravana was after. So you can see the three families, one is like demigods, the other one is like the monkeys, and the third one like the Rashasas. That three nature in three of them. Vibhishana never trusted Ravana. They were brothers, never trusted him. On the other hand, did everything he could to destroy Ravana by offering his services to Ramchandra. So these personalities are telling us certain things, that how to mold one's own life in this world, even leaving aside all the other aspects of spiritual life. That comes much later in Ramayanam. But these stories, these personalities, they teach us a lot of things. A relationship between two brothers, what it should be like. A relationship between the family members, all these things comes in the Ramayanam very, very nicely. Perhaps that is the reason that for thousands of years, Ramayanam was released by everybody. Because all these personalities offered us something to think about in our human relationships. You have to remember, in the earlier days, people lived closer than today. Today, the attitude or the nature is to break away as soon as possible from home and go and separately set up your own palace or whatever it is. So separate as much as possible in individual pockets. But there was no... That was a modern trend. But it wasn't like that before. They had to live, large families had to live together. And they prospered and found security in that lifestyle. So whatever it is, you will see this nature among these brothers, between Sri Ramachandra and Lakshmana, Sugriva and Bali, and similarly Ravana and Vibhishana. That's one. Now, as we're coming back to the story of Valmiki, Valmiki, as I said before, that Ramachandra decided to send Sita Devi away to the forest. Ramachandra decided to send Lakshmana also at one point away. Ramachandra took all these three decisions, three important decisions. In the first decision, as far as Dasharatha was concerned, Ramachandra could have avoided that. He could have avoided that. Everybody in Ayodhya wanted Ramachandra to be king. In other words, he disappointed everybody in the kingdom. Number one thing. Secondly, Ramchandra also did something to upset his mother, Kausalya. Kausalya didn't like Ramchandra going to the forest. And Ramchandra had such a cool mind to convince Kausalya how important it is for Kausalya to stay in the palace and look after Dasharatha in his absence. Ramchandra never got any time. Ramayanam, you will not see anywhere Ramchandra getting upset about anything. That coolness in his mind and his firm convictions in his what he believed, even if it does not approve the Shastra, he still stuck to this path of making his own decision, which he thought is the right thing to do. Maybe there are higher reasons beyond than this, but Ramchandra's decisions were such that the way he implemented each decision within the family, the friction within the family was such that there was a lot of friction happening there within the palace. Kaikeyi created such a difficult situation for everybody that the fact that Ramchandra had to go to forest, when Ramchandra decided to go to forest, what was the next thing happening? Sita Devi decided to follow him. So when Sita Devi decided to follow Ramchandra, Ramchandra said, "No, you have to stay back. You have to stay back here and look after Kausalya, and that is what I would like you to do." Sita Devi said, "No, my position first with the husband. Everything else comes later." So what do you see from all these things? Why these decisions were... They were not taken very lightly. They were all taken with a due consideration of all the different side of it. And there were first-class advisors like Vasishtha Maharshi and so many other great sages to advise them in the right direction. So these decisions were taken with due consideration. And Sita Devi decided to go with Ramachandra. And there is a whole discussion between Sita Devi and Ramachandra. And you will see where Sita's personality coming out through that. Sita Devi is considered to be one of the five great personalities, great women in the Vedic history. Sita, Draupadi, Tara, Ahalya and Mandodari. These are the five from the Ramayanam. They are considered to be very great personalities. So Sita Devi is one among them. And Sita Devi's point was that for me, everything else comes later. As a married woman, my first duty is with the husband. So you can see that determination in the heart of Sita Devi. Generally we say women are weaker than men. So out of the three things for one possesses, one says in the Ramayanam, that three things, balam. Balam means physical strength. Second one is the ojasa. Ojasa means the power of the senses. And the third one is the sahas, the strength of the mind. So in physical ability, although they are considered weaker than the men, the other two, power of the senses and the strength of mind, they more or less are superior to men. That is the strength of women. The womanhood is derived the strength from this, the strength of the mind and the strength of their sense and sense control. So from Ramayanam you will notice this personality Sita Devi is teaching us that when somebody is trained up like Sita Devi, under no circumstances she is shaken by the situation. And that strength of mind what Sita Devi had is seen throughout Ramayanam up to the very end. Sita Devi had gone through the forest, experienced a lot of distress through her travels into Panchavadi, to Kishkindha, everywhere. But in all those circumstances, Sita Devi was cheerful. Why? Because she was having that satisfaction, that commitment to her cause or conviction of serving Ramachandra. And even after Sita Devi was taken to Lanka by Ravana, and Ravana threatened to kill her, what did Sita Devi do? Sita Devi took a grass from the ground and took it and bent it and cut it and showed it to Ravana like this. That is Sita Devi. Where else you will find a personality like this? Sita Devi's strength of mind to show to Ravana that she is not afraid of a death from anybody as long as she is sure that Ramachandra is there to protect her. So Ravana was trying to induce her in many ways to accept him, and Sita Devi refused throughout that time in Lanka. And under the Shimshava tree, when she was seated there, Ravana was trying to push Sita Devi to accept his terms, but Sita Devi rejected all that. Eventually, Sita Devi was brought back after the war was over. Ayodhya, they came back and they were received in a large scale at the palace. And then this incident happens with the washerman. By now, Sita Devi was pregnant. So, this pregnant Sita Devi, Ramchandra had sent her to the forest. And whom did he ask her to take her? He asked Lakshmana to take Sita Devi to the forest. Sita Devi was taken to the forest and left her there. And Lakshmana, while parting Sita Devi from the forest, paid his obeisances to Sita Devi. And tears were coming from Lakshmana's eyes for such an act, instruction from Ramchandra to do that. Although initially Lakshmana refused to do that, later on he had to agree because it was instruction from the king. So Lakshmana came back, and it was by providence or somehow or the other, it happened to be near Valmiki's ashram. So Valmiki saw Sita Devi in the forest in this condition, a pregnant situation, took Sita Devi to his ashram and looked after her, and the two boys Lava and Kusha were born there. So after Lava and Kusha were born, Lava and Kusha were trained about the Lava and Kusha were brought up by Valmiki, and all facilities were given to Sita Devi by Valmiki. And when the children grew up, when they were 10 or 12 years old, by then Valmiki taught them Lava and Kusha the story of Ramachandra. That was taught to Lava and Kusha, and Lava and Kusha learned Ramayanam from Valmiki right up to the stage of out of the stage of the coronation, not bringing Sita into the forest. That part was not taught Lava and Kusha. So there it says there, Lava and Kusha were trained by Valmiki so nicely that when they sang Ramayanam, it was such a pleasant thing to hear. Suswara akshara suspashtam nada shruti manoharam. That is how they sang Ramayanam. suswaraksara suspashtam, that every letter was spoken so clearly and in so pleasant way, nada shruti manoharam, that it was such a wonderful thing to hear Ramayanam when Lava and Kusha has sung. So one day Valmiki said to them, now you go to the palace and recite this Ramayanam to Lord Ramachandra. So they went to the palace, and when they went to the palace, what happened? They stopped them at the gate. So, but they told, the boys told them that they have come to see Ramachandra. And seeing the boys and their beauty and the way they spoke, the palace at the gates, the guards immediately took them to Ramachandra, and Ramachandra saw them. And they started singing Ramayanam to Lord Ramachandra. They sang the Ramayanam. After hearing Ramayanam, Ramachandra gave a lot of presents to the two boys. When he asked them that who taught them these things, when he gave the presents, they refused straight away. They said, we will not accept any presents. We were told by our teacher not to accept any gifts. If it's the case, we want to see the teacher, they said. Ramachandra said to them. So Valmiki was brought in. Valmiki came in. Valmiki came in and saw Ramachandra. And Ramachandra congratulated Valmiki for teaching the boys Ramayanam. And after that, he offered Valmiki some gifts. Valmiki said, I will not accept any gift, he said. So that time, Ramachandra and Valmiki had a conversation. And Valmiki said to Ramachandra that unless you agree on my terms, only then I can accept anything. So Ramachandra came down and said eventually that I will offer you anything you ask me. I'll offer you that. He said, I have only one request, that is to accept Sita Devi back here again. Ramachandra was in a little bit crisis. After doing what he has done, now Ramachandra felt, I have to accept Sita Devi. So he started the discussion with everybody. All the sages, Vasishtha, Bharadwaj and so many other great sages were there. And they told Ramachandra that they should accept Sita Devi back again into the palace. So Ramachandra did that. Now, what is Ramayanam has got to do with this? Ramayanam has got to do something with this because Valmiki wrote Ramayanam, that is what has helped Sita Devi's coming back into the palace. So in other words, even a personality like Sita Devi has been benefited from Ramayanam. What to talk about the ordinary people? That Sita was given up by Ramachandra, but Ramachandra accepted Sita Devi because of Ramayanam. Ramayanam has actually what has made Ramachandra to accept Sita Devi back into the palace again. And apparently this is also spoken in this way, that Sita Devi was brought back to the palace. And when the discussion started in the palace, whether Sita Devi should be brought back to the palace, apparently the same washerman who spoke against Ramachandra even supported Sita Devi's case. After doing all these things, although he has become a cause for all these problems, eventually the same washerman said to Ramachandra, he should accept Sita Devi back in the palace. That is how Ramayanam talks about these things. So you will see there that Ramachandra has taken very tough decisions, very, very tough decisions. Decisions which in our mind find it very difficult to accept. I will say later on why these decisions were justified. Why was these decisions taken? Now, if you look into Ramayanam closely, you will see something interesting. When the two boys, Ramachandra and Lakshmana, were growing up in the family in Ayodhya, they were one day approached by Vishwamitra Maharshi. Vishwamitra Maharshi came to the palace. Vishwamitra Maharshi came to the palace with one request, to send Ramachandra and Lakshmana with him to his ashramam. And at that particular time in the history, Vishwamitra had all the most powerful weapons in his hand. Through mantras, he was able to develop such sophisticated weapons no one else had. And Vishwamitra wanted to hand over these weapons somebody who is qualified to take it. And Vishwamitra was also a Kshatriya, you have to remember, that Vishwamitra's mind, there was nobody else who was more qualified than Ramachandra. He heard about this princess and he wanted to take them and train them in these weapons. When he came to the palace, Dasharatha Maharaj was not in a mood to send them away like that. Dasharatha Maharaj wanted to keep the boys there. They were only 12 years old. So King Dasharatha immediately objected. When Dasharatha objected, Vishwamitra Maharshi spoke to Vasishtha Maharshi. You have to remember, in the 9th canto we saw the relationship between Vasishtha and Vishwamitra were not very good. There was always some friction between them. But what has happened was, Vasishtha Maharshi saw through the situation and realized that it will be good for Ramachandra and Lakshmana to go with Vishwamitra. For this reason only, Vishwamitra was a great powerful sage, and associating with a sage like that means it will only develop the personality of Ramachandra. Even although Ramachandra is a great personality, but somebody has to bring out that personality in him which was left to Vishwamitra. In other words, Vishwamitra was a much more dearer friend of the family than even Vasishtha was. So to such an extent, Vishwamitra was involved in this Vishweshamitra, Vishwamitra. That is how it is said, the friend of the universe. That is how that word means. So he took, Vishwamitra took them. You will see a famous prayer. Kausalya supraja rama purva sandhya pravartade uttishta narashardula kartavyam devama annigam. In the famous prayers for waking up the temple in Balaji, in Tirupati, this is the first verse they sing in the morning. Kausalya supraja rama purva sandhya pravartate uttishta narashardula kartavyam devama annigam. That is a long prayer, but this is the first verse from Valmiki's Ramayanam they have taken into waking up Balaji at the temple. Why did they do that? The reason for that is, this verse has some very significant meaning in it. Vishwamitra Maharshi, when they took these two boys, Ramachandra and Lakshmana with him, the two boys, they were so young that they didn't know what this world is all about. They were just following this Vishwamitra, and Vishwamitra had in that process, throughout the day, they were walking with Vishwamitra through the forest. So Vishwamitra had nothing to offer them to eat, nothing to drink, nothing. And Vishwamitra said to Dasharatha that, I will look after them, you leave them to me. What looking after? The sage had nothing to offer. So Dasharatha was going through all kinds of problems. So now and then, suddenly Vishwamitra will stop and say to the boys, that at this time, what do you drink at the palace, when you are at the palace? So, 12 years old boys, you can see, they were walking whole day for a long time and they were exhausted. So they were saying to Vishwamitra that at the palace we are not particular anything. Whatever our mothers, Kausalya or Sumitra gave us, we took it. Sometimes milk, sometimes some fruits, something like that, they said. So then Vishwamitra changed the tactic. He told them, what is your most favorite drink? Or what is your most favorite food? So Ramachandra and Lakshmana started saying so many names from the palace menu, whatever they were taking. When he mentioned all that, Vishwamitra said, now we stop it. I'll teach you two mantras, Bala and Adibala, the two mantras. One for the drink and one for the food. If you chant this mantra and remember that drink, what you are having in the palace, you will get the same satisfaction after chanting the mantra. Similarly, after chanting Adibala, whatever food you had a desire to eat, chant this mantra and think about that food, and your belly will be filled with that. It's not a bad thing, isn't it? So, but see, this is how Ramayanam is so nice in so many things, that the power. Why I'm saying this is, these sages, the type of mantras they have developed. We are talking about food crisis here. Where is the food crisis? There is no food crisis. Food crisis is there because we go in a gross way to solve the problem. That there were such powerful mantras they have discovered, with the help of which they could solve any economic crisis in this world. They didn't have any economic crisis. Economic crisis is for us. Even after battling 8 hours a day, still our economy is not getting right. It's still finding difficult. So this is our economy. So anyway, the subtleties of all these things is what's important. So our Ramachandra and Lakshmana were going with Vishwamitra and travel. So in the evening, they get tired. So they'll sleep. When they sleep, they were very hesitant to wake up in the morning because they were so exhausted. So Vishwamitra is waking up these two boys in the morning with this prayer in Valmiki's Ramayanam. Kausalya suprajarama purva sandhya pravartade uttishta narashardula kartavyam devamanyam. That you have got work to do, Vishwamitra is telling them. You have got your duties to perform. Please wake up. Kausalya suprajarama purva sandhya pravartade. That sandhya has come, that means the morning, the morning has come, and you should not sleep anymore. Kartavyam devam anigam uttishta narashardula. Uttishta, wake up, you should wake up and do your duty. Uttishta uttishta govinda, uttishta garudadvaja, uttishta kamala kanda, trailokyam mangalam kurum. That waking up govinda, garudadvaja, kamala kanda, so many ways Ramchandra is advised to wake up in the morning. The boys used to get up hearing these words from Vishwamitra. That is how in the Valmiki Ramayanam this is mentioned. Now, these things have happened. So what was happening now was that they were taken, and then you know the story in Ramayanam that they were taken to kill. Tadaya was killed by Ramachandra. Later on, Ahalya was released from her cursed condition. And then they were taken to, Vishwamitra was taken them to his own ashramam. He spent some time there. Then on the way back, they went to King Janaka's palace. And there, the marriage was, Ramchandra broke the bow. Lord Shiva was given to Janaka. And then the marriage was fixed up. And then the Dashrath and others came, and all the marriage was organized in Mithila. Those things comes later. So from here you can see that Valmiki's Ramayanam has done good to so many people. Manishada pradishtande agama shashwadi samaha yal kraunjam idina degam avadi kamamohidam. That from one that verse, Valmiki expanded that and it has helped so many people. That Ramayanam came out. So Ramayanam has not only exposed this hunter, Ramayanam also brought about this benefit to Sita Devi later on. That is what we find from the Valmiki's Ramayanam. And that Ramayanam, which was so dear to Ramachandra, is like Srimad Bhagavatam is dear to Krishna. Similarly, Ramayanam is dear to Ramachandra. Now, what happens now is that we talked about another devotee of Ramachandra, whom extensively we discussed on 2nd of November, which was Lord Shiva. What happened to Lord Shiva and Sati Devi and Sri Parvati? That is what we were discussing. I'll briefly mention that because we may have forgotten that Sati Devi, Lord Shiva's wife in the first time, was not willing to accept Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sati Devi had a lot of difficulty. She used to think Ramchandra is only a human being, Kshatriya king. Why my husband, Lord Shiva, who is the destroyer of this whole universe at the time of devastation, should worship Ramchandra? This was the question. Sati Devi's question to Ramchandra to Lord Shiva was. So when this question came up, Lord Shiva was very much upset about it, that Sati Devi was not willing to accept the authority of Ramchandra. So Lord Shiva questioned that, and the result was that they came together to see Ramachandra in the forest, which I mentioned before, what has happened. When they came to see Ramachandra, Lord Shiva and Ramachandra exchanged their good wishes. And when they returned, Shiva asked Sati Devi, "Why have you seen Ramachandra?" She said, "Yes." "But what do you feel about Ramachandra?" Sati Devi said, "Well, he is an ordinary Kshatriya king. What does it matter?" This was his reply. This was her reply. Lord Shiva was very, very upset about this, what Sati Devi has spoken. The result was that Lord Shiva decided to send Sati Devi again back to Ramchandra, and she was sent second time to see Ramchandra. This time, Sati Devi went there. By now, Sita has been stolen. Sita was taken away by Ravana. So Ramchandra was wandering in Panchavati and in the forest calling for my Janaki, where have you gone? And Ramchandra was in tears. It is at this time Sati Devi is coming in. Sati Devi came and saw Ramchandra crying, calling out for Janaki, Sita Devi. And Saridevi thought, let me have some fun with Ramchandra now about this. So what did she do? By her own potency, after all, they are great personalities, she took the form of Sita. And she started hiding in the forest. So when Ramchandra was calling for Janaki, Sita Devi, our Saridevi was answering back, Ariputra, I am here. What are you searching for? Like this, she replied from within the forest. And Ramachandra, as soon as he saw Saridevi there, Ramachandra immediately sensed who it is. It was not difficult for Ramachandra to know. First question Ramachandra asked Saridevi was, where is your husband? Where is he gone? He said, Has Lord Shiva come with you? As soon as Ramachandra asked this question, the truth has come out. So there was no question of hiding anything. And she was in such a distress. She said to Ramachandra, no, I was just going through. I thought I will pay my respects to you and started walking. As soon as she started leaving, she looked front side Ramachandra, right side Ramachandra, left side Ramachandra, on the top Ramachandra, the bottom Ramachandra, back side Ramachandra. Everywhere she looked, it was all Ramachandra standing there. And she realized what an offense she has committed. But Saridevi is the daughter of Daksha Prajapati. You have to remember that. And this Daksha Prajapati is not a very easy personality to deal with. In the Bhagavatam also you will see, in the fourth canto we discussed about him. So Saridevi apologized to Ramachandra. Ramachandra said, no, you can go now. I only inquired about Shiva, Lord Shiva, and if he had come with you. And Saridevi left. And she went back. Lord Shiva asked her, have you seen Ramachandra? She said, yes. So what? Everything went okay. She said, yes. She never revealed anything what happened. Her pride didn't allow her to tell Shiva, Lord Shiva, what happened in the forest. So that day, Lord Shiva told Saridevi, I will not touch you again. Because you have told a lie about the Supreme Personality. That is how much Lord Shiva adored Ramachandra. In Lord Shiva's heart, Ramachandra is so dear to him that he would not tolerate an offense by anybody, including Saridevi. And that is the reason why Saridevi had no children from Lord Shiva, first instance. Later on, as you know, what happened was Saridevi had fallen out with Daksha Prajapati. And eventually when she went for the sacrifice, she was offended there also by Daksha Prajapati. Saridevi gave up her body and then she was born again as the daughter of Mount Himalaya and Menaka, named Haimavati, Himalaya's daughter as Haimavati. And in that body, she performed penances and austerities to get Lord Shiva as her husband again, as the name as Parvati. So when she became Parvati in that body, she was performing penances in the Himalayas. It was at that time Lord Shiva came and tested her, that we talked about all these things in November. But after we spoke about this, I mentioned that eventually Lord Shiva accepted Sri Parvati as his consort. And then the children were born. Bhadragali, Ganesh, Kartikeya, they were all children who were born after that. So the important thing to remember is that Lord Shiva, who is such a powerful personality, worships Ramachandra to such an extent. That is the relationship between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Shiva. In fact, in Kashi, in Banaras, when people die in Banaras, like in Vrindavan we say, if you die in Vrindavan, you go back to the spiritual world. That is the devotee's understanding and devotees believe in that. Similarly, in Banaras also, if you give up your body in Banaras, the belief is, not only believe, the most of the devotees agree with this, that Lord Shiva comes at that time and recites the holy name of Lord Ramchandra in your ears. That's why in the olden days, people either travel to Vrindavanam or to Banaras to give up their body for these reasons. In Banaras, Lord Shiva comes personally and give you the holy name of Lord Ramchandra. He recites in your ears at the time of leaving the body. That is the famous tradition of this. There is also so many prayers associated with that, that when at the time of death, when the throat is choked with mucus, you cannot speak anything at that time. Your throat is choked with mucus. One thing. Secondly, your ears have lost its power of hearing. In other words, it becomes very much dead condition. The eyes, vision is gone, more or less. The vision is also gone. And all the leg, hands and legs, they are also in a unfortunate state that they, you cannot even move them. It is in that state you are lying there. It was at that time the devotee is praying to Lord Shiva that please come at that time and in my ears please recite the name of Lord Ramchandra so that I may go back to the to Vaikuntha. This is the prayers from a devotee, great devotee who wrote a great prayer about this. And devotees recite these words at the time of death, just to pray into Shiva, to help them at the time of leaving the body.
Kaye siddhadi kandharodhini kabhe kandhe javani pade kaye siddhadi.
That means the whole body has completely collapsed. There's nothing left in the body. There's no possible to move the hands and legs. It is, you are in a very difficult situation.
Kandharodhini kabhe,
that mucus has broken. Mucus is blocking the throat.
Kandhe javani padhem jinmayam drishi jivide jigamishau shwase shanei shamyadi agatya swayameva karunaya.
That when the breathing is blocked by the mucus, when the ears cannot hear anymore, when the eyes are not able to see anything anymore, and even the jigmayam drishi jivadem, little by little the breathing is also coming to an end. This is the time of death we all have to face at the end. At the moment we are running around with full strength, but one day this will not be like this forever. This has to stop one day. So when it stops, that particular day is an important day in life, isn't it? All these things, what we have done in this world, will not be there to help you. Nothing will be there. The only thing what will help you at that point is Krishna. Nobody else can help you. All your so-called family, society, friends, relations, bank balance BMW or whatever you have, nothing will be there. All these things will stay where they are. But I'll say like this, lying in one of those, I don't know where it will be, but whatever it is, I'll be lying in this condition. Imagine ourselves in that situation, that the whole body has become into an unfortunate condition. All your hands and legs, you will need somebody else to help you to move the leg or your hands. It's not necessary that this has to happen, but this can happen. And this does happen in many, many cases. You cannot breathe. So the doctor will be putting all kinds of things, pushing in and scraping in and doing all kinds of things in your body. You can't complain anything to anybody. Why? You can't even speak. You can't even speak. And your ears, that also, all the senses are losing its power. Senses are also finding very difficult. Can't see anything. Sometimes, out of that distressful condition, sometimes tears will come from eyes. You can't do anything. What can I do? This feeling will come very strongly. That is what this verse is reflecting. That you are saying to Krishna, to here in this case to Lord Shiva, that please come, because in my mind I have one conviction. That although I can't chant the holy name at the time of leaving this body, if you come and chant the holy name in my ears, that will take me back to the spiritual world. This is our condition. This is the reality in this world. You may be anybody in this world. Today you can be anybody. It doesn't matter. But one day these things can happen to us. And that is where it mentions here,
agatya swayameva na karunaya kartyayani kamugam. Agatya swayameva.
Please come on your own. Why? Don't expect me to call you, because I haven't got anything, strength in me to address you at that time.
Agastya swayameva.
How would you come? Karunaya. By your own mercy. not by my, I have done something for you so that you will come. I have nothing to claim for. You have to come by out of your own causeless mercy. That's why it says there, Agatya Soyamevana Karunaya Kartyayani Kamugam. Why do you take shelter of Lord Shiva? Because he has the ability to give you Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra's holy name is in his lips all the time. That is why, Agatya Soyamevana Karunaya Kartyayani Kamugam. Karne Varnayadal Bhavar Navabhayal Dutaragam Taragam. That if you hear that holy name at the time of leaving the body, what will happen? That it will do one thing. What is that? It will take you out of this repeated birth, accepting another body. Uttaragam Taragam. That once more you don't have to come back to this material world again. That is what the benefit of praying. Just see how devotees pray to Krishna. Their prayers is not for giving, give me this, give me this, give me this. No. Their main prayer is always this. At the time of death, at the time of leaving this body, come and protect us. This is the prayer from a devotee to Krishna. So they every prayer you will see in the Ishopanishad also. How do they pray? It says there. First one verse is about pravarti, and the second one is nivarti, and the third one is also talking about the same thing, that at the time of death you should come. Who else will come? There is nobody else can help you also at that time. And this is why Ramayanam, and for this reason I was mentioning that relationship with Lord Shiva and Sri Ramachandra is so important for us to understand. To understand all these relationships. And when you understand the relationships, then you understand that what is our duty. That will come to you automatically. Otherwise, all these relationships doesn't mean anything. When you understand that Ramachandra can be given to you by Lord Shiva, by his mercy, then what do? You take the shelter of that devotee. And that will take you to Lord Shiva, it will take you to Ramachandra. So Sri Ramachandra's story is so powerful in the Ramayanam that you will see there. Exactly like as it is mentioned here by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has punished Sadidevi for being indifferent. And later on, this Sadidevi, when she accepted the body of Sri Parvati, she comes to Ramachandra, to Sri Lord Shiva and ask him to tell her the story of Ramachandra. This is how she has changed. Sri Parvati changed her approach later when she got purified after realizing what an offense she has committed to Sri Ramachandra. The same Sri Parvati comes to Lord Shiva, and that is what later on this Ramayanam, when it comes to Brahmanda Puranam, where Vedavyasa Maharshi has mentioned about Ramayanam, the story is between Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati. Lord Shiva reciting Ramayanam and Sri Parvati asking questions. Uma Maheshwara Samvadam. That is how it is called in the Brahmanda Puranam. So you can see all the great, great personalities, they take shelter of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra is known different from Krishna. And therefore, Ramayanam teaching, why Ramayanam is so important is because of these things. That from here you can go into the third personality. I mentioned about Valmiki, I mentioned about Lord Shiva. Who is the third personality? Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman. What is this Hanuman's relationship with Ramachandra? Hanuman comes to know about Ramachandra. When does it first happen? The first time it happens when they came to Kishkindha. And in the under Sugriva, Hanuman was one of the great powerful warriors there. And when Ramachandra decided to send them his emissaries in different directions looking for Sita Devi, Ramachandra selected Hanuman as the representative to whom he handed over his anguliyam. Anguliyam means the ring from the finger. And he didn't give it to Angada. He didn't give it to any of the other who went to other directions. Ramachandra decided that I'm going to give this to Hanuman. Who will have it? Now, the monkeys, they don't have a purse like us, isn't it? They don't keep any purse or any wallets. So where do they keep everything? They keep everything in the mouth. So he has put in the mouth this ring what Ramachandra has given to him. And it is in the mouth. And keeping that in the mouth, he is chanting, Sri Ramayana Maha, Say Ramaya Namaha. So constantly chanting, and this ring inside that has purified that consciousness so nicely that eventually Hanuman found it difficult to stay without chanting Lord Ramchandra's name. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find in the fifth canto, when they were talking about the worship of Lord Ramachandra, who is worshipping there? Worship is done by Anjaneya Swami. Hanuman is worshipping Ramachandra there. Now, from that day, that relationship began from them, between Ramachandra and Hanuman, in the Ramayana at least. And that continued throughout the war. After the war, all the time in the friend was Hanuman, in everything, doing everything to please his master. And when they came back to Ayodhya, one day, it so happened that Sri Ramachandra and Sita Devi were sitting together and Hanuman was sitting there on the ground in full respectful mood, just like we see here at the deities, Ramachandra and Lakshman and Sita Devi standing there, Hanuman is sitting next with the folded hands. That is Hanuman's usual position. He enjoys that. And he enjoys that relationship. Dasya Bhakti, servitude. Hanuman is one of the classical examples in that mellow devotion. So his servitude nature was so pleasing to Ramachandra. One day Ramachandra told Sita Devi that although he is not in a human body fully, but he is very qualified to hear about the absolute truth. So you should give him that understanding. Just see, if Krishna wants something to happen or Ramachandra wants something to happen, it happens automatically. It doesn't take very long. You can be in any body, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you are in monkey's body, man's body, female body, it doesn't matter. That's not the important thing. Important thing is that you have to please the Lord, please Krishna, please Ramachandra by your activities. And Hanuman has done that. With the result, what was the result? Result was, if you read Adhyatma Ramayanam, Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions there one important thing, that due to the service rendered by Hanuman, Sri Ramachandra decided to give him spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. And the result was that Sita Devi instructed Hanuman in what is known as Sri Rama Hridayam, the heart of Lord Ramachandra. That is the few verses that is spoken and instructions were given to Hanuman about it. The result was that Hanuman's devotion became so powerful that in the middle of the instruction, Ramachandra himself stopped Sita Devi and started instructing himself to Hanuman. Instructions are such, it's important from whom it is coming from. That's very important, because a personality, if you give it, just like Arjuna. Arjuna received instructions from Krishna, but instructions immediately changed the scene, isn't it? Arjuna was immediately transformed into act like a warrior, completely took up his responsibility. Same thing with Uddhava. When Krishna instructed Uddhava, at the end Krishna asked Uddhava, is your illusion gone now? And there is answer from Uddhava in the Bhagavadam, how much he has cleared up everything and he knew what he has to do. So like this, instructions, when it comes from Ramachandra or Krishna, it changes the person immediately. It cannot be otherwise. So that is what has happened in this case also. So here you find that Hanuman, due to his service, he pleased Ramachandra. So these three personalities, Lord Shiva, Valmiki and Hanuman, they stand among the top list of the three great devotees of Lord Ramachandra. Out of this, again, each one of these personalities in their own way, they pleased Ramachandra. Valmiki through Ramayanam. Lord Shiva by pure devotion to Ramachandra. And Hanuman through his servitude. So, now we go back to these relationships again. Because these are things which are all coming in between. That when we talking about the relationship, when the boys were taken away by Vishwamitra, you will find there is some reference in the Ramayanam. Ramo Rajiva Lochana. Rama is referred to as Rajiva Lochana. Rajiva Lochana means one who has lotus eyes. Why that reference is given to them? Because lotus flowers, they open up in the morning and they close in the evening. When the sun sets, they close in the evening. Apparently, if you had looked at Ramchandra's face in the evening, it was like that. he closed his eyes exactly like the lotus flower, and so peacefully he slept. And in the morning, when the sun wakes comes out, Ramchandra also woke up like a lotus flower. Therefore, Valmiki uses this special word, Ramo Rajivalochana. Rajivalochana he is, his eyes were such. So many references to Ramchandra like this in the Ramayana. Now we move on to another great personality in Ramayana, Lakshmana. Lakshmana had this one thing with him. Exactly in a different way he thought. When first time Dasharatha Maharaj mentioned about Ramchandra going to forest, the first person to get furious about it was Lakshmana. Lakshmana said, I will not accept it, that decision. And he believed in his ability such that he was willing to do anything to stop that happening. In addition, according to his viewpoint, there was no justification in asking Ramchandra to go to the forest. And in that process, he was even willing to take sword against Dasharatha. To such an extent, he has objected to that thing. But there you will notice an interesting conversation between Ramchandra and Lakshmana in the Ramayana. These are the important things in the Ramayana. Ramayana is not just a story of moving from one place to another. Ramayana is telling us so many things through these different Puranas and Itihasams, particularly Ramayana and Mahabharata, is meant for this, to teach us so many things. That Ramayana is saying that when Lakshmana was furious to go against Dasharatha for that decision to send Ramchandra to the forest, eventually Lakshmana turned against Ramchandra and told him that he will not allow this to happen. Going to the forest it's not an option, he said. Just like we say sometimes, it's not an option. So it's not an option, he said. So Ramchandra was so peaceful in convincing Lakshmana that why his decision was right. So that's another interesting thing. That Lakshmana was saying that even if it is fate or destiny or whatever you call it, let it be. I'm going to act against it. This was Lakshmana's point of view. At one point, Ramchandra turned around to Lakshmana and said to him that, in fact, in reality, he said to Lakshmana that what Mother Kaikeyi has done to me is one of the greatest favor, he said. Because if I got stuck in this administration, Ayodhya, I will be doing these things, regularly administering people's problems and solving things like that. On the other hand, I've got an opportunity to go to the forest. This kind of statement can only come from a personality like Ramchandra. Think about the modern politicians, same time. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you think about them, you tell them, look, are you going to the forest? What will they say? They will say, oh, we won't be able to serve our people. How can we serve the people? This will be the answer from them. But here, Suvrata, Sumukha in Sahasranamam, in Thousand Names, Ramchandra is referred to Sumukha. When he was walking out of the palace, he was smiling to the people because he felt destiny has done a great favor to him. This was the renunciation of Ramchandra. A personality, Ayodhya's opulence at that time is far, far higher than even the demigods' planets in the heavenly planets. And that demigod's facilities and happiness, Ramchandra just threw away like this and decided to go to the forest. That's Ramchandra. So, and when he was walking out from the palace, Ramchandra's administration in Ayodhya, nobody has to talk about it because it's so well known. Even Mahatma Gandhi used to say, Ramarajyam. Why it is referred to? That was the kind of administration. Because we are not experienced that administration, we don't know about it. We think we have the best administration. But that administration, what they are talking about, is a different kind of administration. Anyway, when he was walking out, everybody was crying. Because the people of Ayodhya, they felt for Ramchandra so much, they had that attachment and respect and love and affection for him to that extent. So they were crying, Ramchandra was smiling. Suvrata, Sumukha, that when he was walking out. And here, what do we find? When they are walking out here from the assembly or from the parliament, our MPs are saying, oh, I lost a great chance to serve my people. They are crying. And people are all standing there and laughing at them. This is exactly the opposite what happens in our situation. It is not only happening in London, it's happening in Delhi, it's happening in Washington, it's happening in Moscow, it's happening everywhere. The same story is not different. People are enjoying it, watching the scene of pulling them down from the position, and they're crying, "Oh, I could not do anything for my people," they're saying. And our MPs are movie walking, or ministers are coming out with that mood, and the people are all enjoying, "Oh, I succeeded, managed to get him out now, this time." This is the mood in the people's mind. But that was not Ayodhya. Ayodhya was different. This is that what I was saying. That relationship Ramachandra had with people. So like this, there were so many things happen, and this Lakshmana was convinced by instructions from Ramachandra that this is the only way that renunciation is as important as attachment to material life. Lakshmana was taught a great lesson by Ramachandra in that process. You have to read all these instructions in Ramayanam. Detailed instructions are Lakshmana Upadesham. It's instruction to Lakshmana given by... And through various poems, Ramachandra was making Lakshmana realize that how fortunate one is if Krishna gives you a situation to break away from all material connections. This is what we have to learn from that. That materially, every one of us are bound in this world. Family life, social life, this life, that life, so many things. All these attachments are impediments on our way back home, back to Krishna. They will all take you, their time. They'll take your time away. Even the so-called relatives and friends, they'll come right up to the deathbed. Till you leave this body, they won't let you go. They will take every second of your time. They'll come and make sure that every tube is connected to your body so that you don't die easily. You know? This is a thing called relatives in this world. They can do the greatest damage also. You may be thinking, "Oh, he's my relative, he's my..." This is all useless. No relative can help you at the time when you have to leave this body. No relative can help you also. And whatever it is, that Ramachandra's words to Lakshmana at that point saying then, that to in this world, if you do not develop that relationship with this material world externally in this way, you will become victimized by the so-called society and friends. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, to illustrate this point, there is a great chapter, Krishna talking about it. Krishna and Ramachandra, they are instructing the same message at two different times in two different ways. That's all. The message is the same. Message is this: give up this attachment to the material world. Relatives and friends and society not take you away from developing Krishna consciousness. That's the message. So in the Bhikshugita chapter, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see later that Shatru, Mitram and Udasinam, friends, enemies and indifferent, three types of people in this world, all three of them, if you don't keep them away from your life, at the time of death, they will cause problem for you. This is what the message is. Your so-called friends, they will come. Enemies, they will also come and bother you. And the so-called indifferent, they are not so troublesome. Because there you see and forget about that. But these friends and enemies, they will be there to give you trouble. So anyway, Ramachandra gave this instruction to Lakshmana. And through that instruction, Lakshmana understood Ramachandra's mind. That going to the forest was not a bad thing, ultimately. Because it gave the opportunity for Lakshmana to hear many, many, many valuable instructions from Ramachandra. So eventually they were benefited from that. So this Lakshmana's mind was very difficult to change in the beginning. But the way Ramachandra put forward different points to Lakshmana to make him realize and convince him that ultimately Lakshmana as a good brother accepted instructions from his elder brother. And that is the personality Lakshmana. How did Lakshmana become like this? That's the next question we have to ask, isn't it? The most important reason for that is Lakshmana had a great, great mother, Sumitra. Lakshmana is also called as Saumitri because of this reason. Why she is so great? Out of these three wives of Dasharatha, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, there is nobody who exceeds Sumitra in qualities. Sumitra, what was her quality? When all these crises happened in the palace, it was Sumitra who had the great balance of mind to act peacefully. Never once she objected Lakshmana going with Ramachandra. Lakshmana was also married. Urmila was his wife. And Urmila was asked to stay back by Lakshmana. Urmila agreed to do that. Why? Because Lakshmana said, if Urmila comes with Lakshmana, it will be difficult for Lakshmana to serve Ramachandra in the forest. That was the reason Urmila stayed back. Unlike Sidadevi who went with Ramachandra, Urmila stayed back in the palace. So Lakshmana went with him, went with Ramachandra. Now this Sumitra, by virtue of her own quality, she spoke only one verse in the Ramayana. And that verse is considered to be the most popular verse in the whole of Valmiki's 24,000 Ramayana verses. That is her quality. What was that verse? It's a famous verse, and not only it's famous in the Ramayana, over this verse there has been discussions in Vikramaditya's palace by the great scholars for days together to completely come to the conclusion ultimately that this is the greatest verse in the Ramayana. Ramam dasharadam vidhi mam vidhi janagalmajam ayodhya madavim vidhi gachata dayatha sugham. This is that verse in the Ramayana. Ramam dasharadam vidhi, while they were packing up to leave into the forest. So the early in the hours in the morning, Ramachandra has arranged for Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi to go to the river, and they had to cross the river to the other side into the forest. So before going, Lakshmana went into the palace and paid his obeisances to Sumitra Devi, to his mother. Sumitra Devi never shed any tears. She had such a control on her mind and emotions. But she gave one considered to be the most valuable instruction to Lakshmana, and that is still considered to be the most popular verse in the Ramayana. Ramam Dasharadam Vidhi. When you are in the forest, think about Ramachandra as that king Dasharada. In other words, at no point you should disobey what Ramachandra tells you to do. See that relationship? This is how brothers should react to each other. Today, what is the situation? How many brothers are getting on well? Only, I don't know. I think majority of the cases, the relationship is finished as soon as they get married. Because two sides, two different opinions will come, and two different advices. The man has no choice. He has to dance with that advice that comes from the two sides. And then they're caught up in between. And then life, somehow or the other, what can we do? Look this side, try to act friendly to everybody. But you want to block everything, so you want to keep us a peaceful situation. And the man is trying hard, but this is the modern relationship. Don't you think it is different? Don't you think what Sumitra has told? Ramam Dasharadam Vidhi. Think about your elder brother as your own father. That is the instruction he has given. These are relationships. These relationships, if it is followed, there is no need to break up families. This will not happen. Otherwise, forget about brothers and sisters. Husband and wife is finding it difficult to live together. This is the today's world. What to talk about? Supposed to be that relationship is much more closer in many ways. Although brother's relationship is important, but modern lifestyle is changed in such a way that all human relationships have been broken down. Why? Because there is no such instruction in this life anymore to people. Is there anywhere, any school or college or comprehensive school teaching any of these things to anybody? Ramam Dasharadam Vidhi Mam Vidhi Janagalmajam. Look at Sita Devi as me. This is Sumitra's instructions to Lakshmana. Throughout the forest, when you are traveling, that there will be a lot of situations where you may have to associate with Ramchandra and Sita Devi. But all the time think about her like this. Mam Vidhi Ramam Dasharadam Vidhi Mam Vidhi Janagalmajam. Janagalmajam, Janaga's daughter, Sita Devi is me. You should think like that. This comes out later in the Ramayana. When you read, you will only see that later. Ayodhya Adavim Vidhi. Even when you are in the forest, think that you are in Ayodhya. Never think, oh, I am in a forest, I am suffering here. Don't think like that. He said, Ayodhya Madavim Vidhi Gachata Adayatha Sukham. Happily proceed with your duty. What you have to do, everything will come out okay. This is how Sumitra has spoken to Lakshmana. This valuable instruction for everybody to see the relationship between an elder brother and younger brother is like that. That at some time the parents will go away And still, that doesn't mean the relationship between brothers have to finish with that day. The eldest brother has to look after his younger brothers, exactly like it's mentioned here. Ramachandra acted specifically in that way in relationship with Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. All the time, he was a father for them. That was their relationship with Ramachandra was. So, when do you see this happening later in the Ramayanam? Ramayanam, these things comes later, much later. After they have travelled in the forest for a while, it so happened that when they reached Panchavati, Sita Devi was stolen. If you remember in Ramayanam, the story comes there. In Panchavati, it is where Sita Devi was stolen. Panchavati is in the current Maharashtra, where it's closer to Nasik. It's a famous place of worship, place of pilgrimage. And there is a lot of incidents in Ramayanam happens in that area. So when Ramachandra was, when they were stolen from there, when Sita Devi was stolen, Ramachandra decided at that time to wander around in the forest looking for Sita Devi. So while traveling, Sita Devi was sitting with Ravana and Jadayu tried to attack but couldn't do anything about it. With Chandrahasam, the sword, Ravana tried to kill Jadayu and Jadayu fell on the ground. But Sita Devi thought came to her mind that if I can just throw away my jewelry into the ground, maybe Ramachandra, while searching for me, may find the jewelry there. And he will probably know that this is the route I was taken away from here. So she took her kundalam, the earrings and the bangles and the anklets. She took out all of them and threw it away on the ground. So Sita Devi and Ravana is gone, and later on Ramchandra and Lakshmana started wandering in the forest looking for any information on Sita Devi, and they found all these jewelry lying on the ground. And when the jewelry was located, Ramchandra could not find out, could not confirm that they were Sita Devi's jewelry. So she showed the jewelry to Lakshmana and asked him whether he could recognize any of those jewelry, what Sita Devi was wearing. And in response to that, Lakshmana spoke to Ramachandra. Lakshmana said to him, Ramachandra, he looked at the earrings first, then he looked at the bangles, then he looked at the anklets, and eventually he said to Ramachandra that kundalam naiva janami, I don't know whose kundalam. Kundalam means earrings. This is kundalam naiva janami kanganam. I don't know whose bangles they are. Nupuram naiva janami, but I know whose anklets they are, he said. Why? Nityam padabhi vandido. Every morning, Lakshmana used to pay his obeisances to Sita Devi at her lotus feet. And when he paid his obeisances to Sita Devi, he used to see those anklets on her feet. So, Lakshmana is saying to Ramachandra, I cannot guarantee whose eardrops they are. I cannot tell you whose bangles they are. But I can tell you that naiva janami, nupuram eva janami, nityam pada abhivandido. Every morning when I pay my obeisances to Sita Devi, I have seen that anklets on her feet. So from this you can see, Lakshmana kept that instruction from Sumitra throughout the time they spent in the forest. And this is the personality they are. Ramayanam, as you open up more and more and more, you will find there is so many beautiful interaction between Sita Devi, Lakshmana, Ramachandra and so many others. And that is why Ramayanam is still living in this world. It is a lesson for those who look trying to understand what is human relationship. They should not go for studying conflict resolution. they should study Ramayana. Ramayana will teach how to resolve the conflicts, not by studying from the conflict resolutions group. They can't help you on this. This is all complete nonsense. This only solution is Ramayana. Ramayana can teach you how to develop relationship, human relationships. If we stick to it, if we follow it to it, follow these principles, you will find life is tolerable, livable. Otherwise, we don't know what to say. So, this is the story. There are so many more things to say, but it's now 7:10, and there's a program here at 7:30. So, I'll stop there. If there's any questions, we can finish in 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, this is from the Valmiki's Ramayana. Valmiki Ramayana, yes. They're all from the Valmiki Ramayana.
Today I want to make one announcement first to everyone here. There will be classes by Prabhuji in South Hall from this Friday, every Friday, from 7 o'clock. So everybody is welcome to come. So Prabhuji is Prabhuji here. Krishnamurti Prabhu. His building program in his house. It is like kind of temple with Radha Sautarishwar. And every Friday, this program is going down like since almost 20-25 years. So Prabhuji is going to give classes there. So we were invited by him. Yeah, address is 35 Stanley Road.
Okay.
I've got a question. You said Sita Devi came back from the forest into Ayodhya.
Yes.
I've never known that. How did she actually come back? I thought the earth actually swallowed her.
She came back. And then what did she say at that time? She said to Ramachandra that anybody who has come to this world, no one has left this world without getting a bad name. At least somebody must have spoken bad about everyone. I would like to leave this world without a bad name. Saying this, the earth opened and she left then and there. Went down.
So she didn't come back.
She came back into friend of the Ayodhya. Yes. In Ayodhya this has happened. Yeah.
That's where she was swallowed.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah, she went back into the ground. At that point, Bhumi Devi opened and received her, and she was taken away.
You watched the TV, they didn't show that.
They didn't show that, yeah. That's an Uttarayamayana. Yeah.
And you're talking about the five exalted women. Why are they exalted?
They are from the Ramayana. Sita, Draupadi, Tara, Ahalya, and Mandodari. For their chastity and strength of character, all of them. Mandodari particularly, although Ravana's wife, she was such a nice person, gave a lot of good advice what a wife should do to the husband. But what can you do? Went in the wrong direction. Deaf, yes. Not all wives give wrong direction, you know. Some of them do give good advice also. Okay, we will stop now. All glory, Srila Prabhupada.
Presenting now a follow-up to Canto 1 and 2 that I did last year.